You're listening to Mom Talk, the online community radio show connecting moms across Canada and around the world. Join Helen, Kara, and Tracy, the parenting team from CanadianParents.com, as they talk all things mom. Mom Talk, a podcast for moms, by moms, because we're all in this together.
Hello, everyone. This is Tracy, and today we're going to discuss the autism spectrum disorders. With me, I have our very own CPO expert, occupational therapist, Lena Tam. Hi, Lena.
Hi, Tracy.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Lena, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the autism spectrum disorders and how you work with children who are affected this way.
Well, the autism spectrum disorder is a spectrum, like I said, of various disorders. They're actually developmental delays, and they're typically characterized by communication, difficulties with communicating, social interactions, and repetitive behaviors. So under this spectrum, there's a varying degree of these, I guess, behaviors that you see, and then children are diagnosed accordingly. Diagnosis is done by a doctor, an MD, or a child psychologist, and that's just in my experience. Mm-hmm. So underneath this sort of umbrella term of autism spectrum disorder, you've got autistic disorder, and these tend to be children that are higher needs, nonverbal, a lot of repetitive type behaviors and poor social interactions. And then there are sort of varying degrees of, like I said, those behaviors. They could be PDD, NOS, so that's a pervasive developmental delay, not otherwise specified.
Could you repeat that again?
Yep, it's PDD, NOS.
NOS?
Yep, so it's pervasive developmental delay, not otherwise specified. And that's one diagnosis that falls under that umbrella term.
Okay.
There's Asperger's, which tend to be higher functioning kids.
Yeah.
There's Rett disorders, which tends to be predominantly girls that are diagnosed with that. And in my experience, there have been some physicians that sort of even group nonverbal learning disorders underneath that umbrella. Since I don't do the diagnosis, I don't really know the intricacies, the differences between all those.
And how do you work with them? How do you specifically work with these children?
Well, as an occupational therapist, I should probably give you a bit of background as to what the profession is.
Yes.
It's a university degree, quite often confused with physical therapy. We actually do a lot of the classes with a physiotherapist. The main difference is that physical therapists deal with physical attributes of sort of well-being and functioning. So we're talking about muscle strength, range of motion, that type of thing, where occupational therapists deal with functional day-to-day activities. So with children, we're talking about anything that kids do to occupy their time. So getting dressed, using the washroom, all the activities they do at school, playing with their friends. So those are all the things that may be affected by a disorder or some sort of disability. And it's sort of that area that we work with when we work with kids that are diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder. So the work that I've done, I've sort of worked with the whole range, including the kids that are high needs, nonverbal, up to the kids that are PDD and Asperger's. So we look at things that are preventing them from interacting with their environment, from doing the things that kids normally would do. Quite often, therapists, OTs work with kids that are the autistic disorder kids, would be, you know, how to engage them in their classrooms, you know, providing them with lots of activities and things that will help them sort of interact with their peers. And on the other end of the spectrum, I've done quite a bit of work with kids that are Asperger's and PDD diagnoses to help them organize themselves, come up with daily routines to do all the things that kids need to do, like getting up, getting dressed, getting enough sleep, and things like that. So functional day-to-day stuff is exactly where OTs help it with.
Cool. So do these children come to your clinic and you work with them there, or do you go to their homes? Or?
Well, I wear several hats as an occupational therapist. My main place of employment is an outpatient adolescent child's mental health clinic, and quite often we see kids with an autism spectrum disorder diagnosis compounded with either depression or anxiety disorder. And my work with them tends to be with organizing themselves and sort of life management skills. So being able to know when to shower, getting dressed, getting themselves ready for school, sort of organizing themselves in relation to their everyday lives. That's the sort of work that I do with those kids.
And how do you help them? Do you talk to them?
Yeah, these kids tend to be really concrete. So using a lot of expressions and things like that in terms of communication is difficult for them. And talk therapy is very difficult for them because it quite often is very abstract in nature. So when I work with them, I use really concrete methods. So coloring in a time wheel where it's like a pie chart where it organizes every hour of their day to have them see it,
okay,
to understand sort of how they're spending their time, having charts and coming up with really sort of concrete things to do to help themselves get organized. So let's say the chart of, you know, things to do after school, and it's like a little checkbox. So it tells them exactly, take the lunch bag out of the knapsack, take out homework, sit down, do homework, and being very concrete about that and to help them sort of get into a bit of routine. I found that's been fairly successful. And also educating the parents. That's a big role in what I do with that population.
Mm.
And I also have a private practice where I work in a more of a consultative role. There's a local organization that specializes in providing services and supports for families with kids with autism spectrum disorders. And what I've done in that role is go in with the family and meet with, you know, whatever they've, sometimes families have, you know, outside workers, child youth workers, that type of thing, to help manage day-to-day stuff. And I provide them with strategies to help them cope. So that's another hat that I wear. And in the past, I've had experience in school health where I provide strategies to staff to, you know, engage the kids in classroom activities if they are nonverbal and have difficulties functioning that way.
Very interesting. Do you find it common to see a spectrum disorder in all children in a family or in children and parents?
In my experience, it has been. It seems, just in my experience, some sort of genetic relationship to that, whether it's between sort of cousins or within a family, there may be varying degrees of spectrum diagnoses, but definitely there are researchers looking more closely at that. I mean, this is just based on personal work experience.
Right.
I find that one child has seen an OT because of a diagnosis that is under the spectrum. There tends to be a likelihood that a sibling also falls under that.
Yeah.
May not be the same diagnosis, but
just somewhere under that.
Somewhere underneath that umbrella, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you find would be among the biggest obstacles for parents with autistic children?
In the area that I work in Durham region in southern Ontario, there definitely seems to be a lack of services in knowing which organization provides which services. Unfortunately, on more than one occasion, I've had to turn parents away from one organization that I'm with because they don't meet the criteria. And then they're forced to look into services in Toronto, which is only about 45 minutes away from where I am. But
that's a long way to go.
That is a long way to go for additional supports. And quite often, there are long wait lists. And if not, then, you know, a lot of the times parents need to turn to private funds to get support.
Why would a child be turned away?
Because they don't meet the criteria, age, certain diagnoses, the availability of the program. Unfortunately, there aren't programs that sort of open, catch-all, will serve anyone with this diagnosis. Quite often, just to be able to get the funding for their programs, they have to sort of put exclusion criteria as to who qualifies and who doesn't.
So it's like they're treating the worst case scenario.
Depending on the mandate of the organization.
Right.
And fortunately, as we all know, kids aren't cookie cutters. They don't fit neatly into one specific pocket. So parents are often confronted with the challenge of finding services that their child fits into.
Do you have any tips or any pointers for parents to enable them to get their kids in these programs quicker or any advice?
My advice is to access websites such as Canadian Parents Online to communicate with other parents to find out what has been successful. I find that networking is a really big plus. I know in Ontario there's an Autism Society. Contact them to find out what programs are available. A lot of times it's getting out there and talking to people and asking service providers and finding out what's available, looking as well as funding to see, you know, what kind of funding your child might be eligible for, to look beyond what's already publicly funded.
I think you hit the nail right on the head there when you used the word networking. Connecting with other people and can really benefit parents with children with all different types of disorders and problems. I'd like to point our listeners to our discussion boards at CanadianParents.com. We have a special needs discussion board where I'm sure you will find many parents going through exactly what you're going through. We also have discussion boards specific to your province. So if you are located, for example, in Nova Scotia and you'd like to connect with other parents who may be going through what you're going through, scroll down on our discussion board main page and you will find those regional boards. Also, Lena Tam is our occupational therapist expert at CanadianParents.com, and you can go directly to her page and to her discussion board and ask her questions yourself. And Lena checks the board regularly and would be happy to answer any further questions you may have. Right, Lena?
Yep, absolutely.
I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today, and good luck with your career. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tracy.